Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
FM 104 Sunday Night Live with Louise Tighe.
Dumb's Hit Music Station, FM 104 Louise with you until 1 o'clock. I'm now joined by Aoife P. Rafter, who's cystic fibrosis and cervical cancer advocate and also a health blogger. Hello, how are you?
Hey Louise, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining me. So I suppose, give us a little background into Aoife.
Yeah, where do I start? Well, I'm 29. I was just 29 last week.
Happy birthday.
Thanks. So I have cystic fibrosis, a life-threatening lung disease. And 2 years ago when I was 27, I had just come home from Australia for being unwell with my cystic fibrosis and actually was diagnosed with cervical cancer stage 1B1 the day that I arrived home. So I suppose between diseases and illnesses and treatment and COVID, it's been an insane 2 years for me. I've obviously been cocooning and stuff too.
Yeah.
So it's just been a whirlwind.
How has it been cocooning for you?
Like probably the toughest time of my life,
yeah.
Which probably speaks volumes considering what I've just blurted out about my health battles. I think cocooning came really quickly, mm-hmm. and at an unfortunate time for me. I was literally 6 weeks finished my radiotherapy for cervical cancer. I was just getting my life kind of back together, settled from back, being from Australia and all the rest.
Yeah.
And then I had to cocoon for, well, till now, I guess, which has just been so difficult on my mental health.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of processing from the trauma I endured. And I was also just started going through the menopause at that time because of the treatment I had for cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So to be honest, it was definitely the toughest time. The first lockdown was, I'm actually amazed I'm here as well as I am to talk to you because it was so dark and difficult.
Yeah, because at that time you wouldn't be around friends, you wouldn't be able to get out and about, like, and the fact that obviously COVID came, that stopped it all for you.
Absolutely, like there was no kind of, it was difficult to feel supported by the people that love me because I had to be isolated from them. At the time there was so much fear and unknown in relation to the virus, so I was completely eating on my own. I had bought a little kettle and mini fridge and was like just kind of staying to my own quarters and using like gloves around my house for shared household items. Like it was mental. It was just such fear and anxiety. And then there was obviously a chemical imbalance going on hormonally with the menopause. So I was just completely overwhelmed.
Because I followed you on Instagram for a long time. I think actually before you'd come back from Australia, I was already following you. And you always seem so positive and upbeat. Do you work a lot on that for yourself?
God, I do. Like, I think for years I was not that version of me. I think it's very obvious with having a chronic illness of any kind, your mental health does go through, you know, ups and downs. And I didn't really realize until, I suppose, recently, like I would be waking up in bad form and I would be irritable every single day for silly reasons. So through going through the really tough times, I've realized how to work on keeping myself more positive, and I know what works for me now. So I do like a lot of work on that, but it's so worthwhile.
Yeah, I used to enjoy you doing your plants, and I actually enjoyed you decorating your space. It was quite,
oh,
it was nice
so
for me to watch. I know it's a bit mad, but it was nice for me to watch when we all had to obviously lock down. It was just kind of a nice outlet going, oh, well, look what she's doing. I'm just sitting here doing nothing.
I know, but that's so obviously okay too, because I certainly have those days. And I think that's what's difficult with social media too.
Yeah.
I don't like to say that social media is the big bad wolf. I feel like, okay, Instagram and the likes is around 11 years now. Mm-hmm. We know how it's used. It's used for marketing and advertising. So not everything is so authentic. But I do try to be authentic and share the crap times, because I just think that is so important for human connection mm-hmm. and to people, for people to connect and relate to one another. Yeah, so I mean, I'm trying to be one of those accounts that people don't hate on.
No, I don't think so. And actually, I love your honesty as well, because I suppose it's teaching me as well about these things, like about CF and about the process you've had to go through for cervical cancer. Like, I think that's important for people to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had the, like, cervical cancer is really slow growing. And I did have my smears, like, I was 27 when I was diagnosed. So I had my smear when I was 25 before I went to Australia. And then I was having these, like, really odd symptoms. But, like, I'm on so much medication. I put a lot of aches and pains and stuff down to being on, like, steroids or anything to do with CF, really. Mm. So I was kind of ignoring or not paying proper attention to them. Plus, I was in Australia. I was absolutely smashed. I wasn't always employed. So, like, I wasn't putting my health first.
Yeah.
Until, like, my body was screaming at me and the symptoms were just, I had every symptom in the book. So I went for an unscheduled smear test, but like both of those smears said no abnormal cells, despite having a cervical cancer tumor in my cervix. Mm. So I try to kind of teach what I've learned along the way on my account, because like if I could just help anyone avoid what happened to me, or like letting it happen later on with a like a more aggressive form of mm-hmm. cancer, like I think it's so terrifying, the things that I didn't know and my girlfriends didn't know about the whole process, that like, you know, smears aren't 100% reliable mm-hmm. as my case showed. And you know, not to have a smear test when you're on your period. I was actually advised to do that at the time, but that's conflict, because like that actually alters the results of your smear test. And there was just so many things I learned that like we don't know as women, and they're not being spoken about and, you know, pushed forward. Why are we not learning this in like sex ed in school? Mm-hmm. Like, why are we not learning about all of these different infertility issues we can have? Because as having cancer, I actually had a round of IVF first as well, which was great. So I got to freeze some eggs for hopefully the future. But there was just so much I learned at such a young age, yeah. and it was frightening that none of my girlfriends, you know, knew any of this info
That's
either.
That's the thing. And we also tend to put things on the long finger. It's kind of, oh, that will go away. Oh, no, it's okay. It's just such and such or whatever. We tend to kind of make excuses for sometimes obvious pains or obvious reasons, like
That's it, like, and I definitely was guilty of that at the time. There were tough lessons to learn, but I'm so grateful that like I can sit here and talk about it now and say what I've learned, you know.
Yeah, and it's great that you are talking about it.
Yeah, no, I feel like I have to. I feel like it's just my responsibility from being given this second chance, you know.
And I suppose now as well we're kind of looking towards vaccines. How do you sit in that bracket for vaccines?
Well, like so many people around the country, I'm not 100% sure. I know that cohort 4 only includes people who have had treatment for cancer within 6 weeks, which there's so much issues with, because, I mean, you could be in between treatments then, for goodness sakes. And my body was immunocompromised for more than 6 months after my treatment. So I don't really like that 6 week thing. But there's so much confusion. And the fact that we're like divided up into different cohorts is a massive, unethical, kind of insulting issue for a lot of vulnerable people. We don't feel like we should have to fight against one another by saying like, oh no, this group is more chronically unwell than the others, they should be prioritized quicker. Like, no, we should all be being prioritized way more urgently than we are, or than is intended for us to be, like has been done in Northern Ireland and the UK. we want to just get all the vaccines to vulnerable people, you know, together. We don't want to have to be saying who's sicker than one another.
Yeah.
So it's an absolute nightmare at the moment. A lot of us don't know where we stand. There's so much mess. There's not a lot of clarity at all between our GPs and our consultants. We're not sure where we'd get the vaccine from, when. There's no timeline. They're also talking about giving us vaccines that don't actually suit immunocompromised people. We should be getting the mRNA vaccine that suits our bodies better, but we're not getting that one according to what's being said at the moment. So it's all really not good enough at all. And I think people that aren't affected by it are just taking it for face value, and they're like, oh, that's grand, sure, they're getting pushed up a bit now, cohort four, but it's an absolute mess.
I don't think we understand it, if that's all. Yeah. Honesty, we don't really understand. I don't really understand any of it, to be honest. I'm kind of just going what I'm being told, and that's, I
yeah.
suppose, what exactly you're saying. We're kind of just going along with it and hoping that we come to an end rather than kind of questioning it somehow.
Yeah, I know, and I understand that, sure. How are people supposed to know everything about everything unless it does affect them in some way? But, yeah, no, there's so much work to be done on that. We really, like, it's so hard to deal with seeing my friends and my family all getting the vaccine, and they're almost, like, afraid to tell me. Now, they're getting it, obviously, because they are frontline workers and the rest. But it's so hard to see them all getting it. And I'm just still here cocooning, and it's been really hard, like, to, you know, the way we've been treated. We've been told to stay in, stay cocooning while the rest of the healthy population continue with normality in some way, and we have to now continue to do so and watch them all get vaccinated with no timeline for when we're going to get vaccinated. It's just weird.
There is a website that people can go onto, isn't there, that they can get more info?
Yeah, so we have created a bit of a campaign and a website. It's called Vaccines for Vulnerable, the number four. And you can go on there, fill in your details, and an automated message will go to your local TDs on the issue of urgent vaccines for all vulnerable people. So it'd be brilliant if people really did do that and supported us with this campaign, because this is really urgent. It's just so behind times.
Now, chat to us about your health blog.
Yeah, so I created that in the middle of, I suppose, cocooning. It wasn't all worth, it wasn't worth nothing in the end. I spent so long doing it, but I created www.efebpure.com, and I just speak about what I'm going through, what I have gone through, things that have helped me along the way, and then my own love of self-care, self-help rituals. Like, I love all of that. I'm also studying to become a reflexologist, so I talk a little bit about that too, and acupuncture, CBD, all these amazing things that have helped my treatment overall with CF and cancer. So yeah, it's a lovely little space.
They're just good for your brain, I think, those kind of things.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Like, when I started doing them, I was like, oh my God, how have I not been doing this my whole life? They helped me so much, like, with my pains and aches and energy and sleep. It's brilliant.
It's like that. We put things off. We need to just kind of go, right, I'm going to try that. Like, at the start of lockdown, I was like, I'm going to go play guitar. And sure, I signed up to these online lessons and it never happened. So, you know, one of these days I will say something and actually do it.
I know, it's tough going, but, like, with your intention is there, it'll happen eventually.
Oh, I hope so.
The diamond's right.
So how can people keep up to date what you're up to?
I'm really vocal on Instagram. It's efa.p.or. Sometimes I forget. It's efa.p.or. Yeah, I'm just really vocal there with day-to-day stuff. Self-care stuff. I do health videos, of course, as well, where I speak about what cervical cancer symptoms are, what the results of cervical smears mean, all the different types of results. I obviously am urging girls to get their screenings, and everyone to get all health screenings, pay attention to your body, and the Vaccines for Vulnerable campaign I'm speaking about there too. So kind of everything. And of course, my four dogs, they are
my pride. They're so gorgeous. And what's the little white one called?
Oh yeah, that's Brax.
Oh, hence, yes.
You know, my home and away fan, Australia, and all sizes.
very like my Pippa, a bit of a drama queen.
They're such drama
queens. Yeah.
Oh, so he's ruined.
Yeah, she doesn't like, you don't give out to her at all. You don't tell her to stop. She goes into like a mood and you can tell straight away. It's
so
like people are very like, you're nuts. Your dog does not. It's like, no, she definitely does sulk. She will.
Oh, they're human. Like, yeah, I say Brax is one third cat, one third human. Like, he just sleeps all day long. I think he like being the having an owner who has a chronic illness probably suits him to the ground. Oh. All I do is chill.
They love that. They love to just curl up right beside you and they get as close as possible. It's
so funny.
It's lovely. But Eva, thank you so much.
No, thanks for having me, Louise. Much appreciated.
Not at all. Talk to you soon.
Bye now.
FM 104 Sunday Night Live with Louise Tai.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.